Thank you very much. I'm very pleased to be here. Getting over a cold, so I may open this as well. So, I'll be speaking on lower body function neighborhoods and mobility disability from a project that we've been working on. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Melissa Keeley, Alan Hubbard, Elaine Kurtovich, Susan Ivey from UC Berkeley, and also our collaborators. As you'll see, this project involves four sites around the country: Constance Bales from University of Pittsburgh, Becky Hunter from University of North Carolina, and Tom Prohaska, now at George Mason. He was at University of Illinois at Chicago. It also involves a collaboration between the CDC Healthy Research Network and the Robert Wood Johnson Active Living Research Program. Well, we all know that walking is the great elixir. It's been shown to be associated with a variety of different positive health outcomes. So the promotion of walking is judged to be an efficient and effective public health strategy to promote and preserve function in older populations. And we also know from some of the early work on self-reported disability that the level of perceived difficulty in walking, as measured by Rosso and Breslow, difficulty in walking 2 to 3 blocks is a common indicator of mobility disability. So our objective in this project, which I'll be reporting some of our findings, is to examine to what extent a measure of capacity, lower body function, and a diverse range of neighborhood elements are associated with perceived difficulty in walking 2 to 3 blocks among older residents, age 65 and older. And we're particularly interested in this issue of the environment as a moderator, because we feel that has important implications for the development of future interventions. So we're interested in examining to what extent elements of the neighborhood environment moderate the association between lower body function on the one hand and this reported difficulty in walking on the other. So to what extent is the elements of the neighborhood, place of residence, does it affect that association? So we're reporting the results of one such analysis, the moderating effects of the respondent's perception of his or her neighborhood and whether that person considers to be a residential area or a mixed area, both residential and commercial. And the implications, I think, are important. It's a way we hope to better understand the reasons why some people walk and others not. If walking is important, there's quite a bit of evidence now to suggest that walking is important, as I said, the great elixir. And we know that the prevalence of walking among older people tends to decline with age. But some older people walk and others don't. Why is that the case? And why are some disabled and others not? And then, to what extent does environmental design contribute to the ease in walking, especially among older people with reduced capacity? And we know that from our own experiences, and certainly from the research in the area, that it's possible to characterize areas as either being walkable or not walkable. The area on the left is generally thought to be a walkable area. Even though we don't see many people actually walking there, there's flat sidewalks, a barrier between where people walk and cars, and possibility of accessing one's residence, and also off-screen commercial areas. And this, of course, on the right is also considered a walkable area as well. This, on the other hand, would be thought of as discouraging walking in terms of the broken sidewalk and the obstructions on the sidewalk. So it's clear from our own experiences and from research, it's possible to characterize these areas. And why all the interest in the environment? To a certain extent, it's back to the future. Because in the early 1900s, the people who did public health and the people who did city and regional planning were often the same people. And those two areas diverged over time, and now we're seeing a re-convergence. So with a consideration of the environment and the design of the environment, it's possible to affect large numbers of people, to affect populations, which is one of our main areas of interest in public health. And we can maintain an upstream perspective in doing so. And also, the notion of the built environment is really central to a consideration of aging. We know from Paul Lawton's work, and specifically his environmental theory of aging, that the effects of the environment become more pronounced with age-related declines in health and function. Lawton, one of his most important insights was that with an increase in age-related functional limitations, the characteristics of the environment become more salient. They become more important. So, one credible hypothesis in this area would be that as neighborhood walkability declines, the association between poor lower body function and reduced walking will become more pronounced. Put differently, as lower body function declines, the neighborhood factors become more salient. We're basically looking for an interaction. To what extent, then, does the environment moderate the association between capacity on the one hand and these walking outcomes on the other, or our measure of disability? I have a series of slides that relate to our particular study, and in the interest of time, I'm not going to go into detail on each of these slides, but they'll be here if in the course of our later discussion we want to talk about them in more detail. But this, our results are based on a collaborative study, the HAN, which stands for Healthy Aging Network Walking Study. It's a cross-sectional study looking at a variety of factors, capacity, elements of the built environment, physical activity. And the study is based on the results that we derived from interviews and direct assessments of a sample of older people drawn from four locations around the country: Alameda County, California, which is where UC Berkeley is located, Cook County, Illinois, Allegheny County, Pennsylvania, and Wake and Durham counties in North Carolina. So a fairly diverse geographic area. The respondents in our study were selected from senior-serving organizations in each of those areas, most commonly senior centers. The organizations themselves were geocoded and categorized into quintiles of housing density, which was a general proxy for walkability. And in each geographic area, four organizations were selected from each of the five categories. And our purpose, and then we recruited probably 15 to so, maximum of 15 people from each one of those centers. So what we tried to do was actually reduce the possible clustering effect by identifying a number of senior centers and selecting relatively small numbers of people from each of those locations. The sampling plan called for a recruitment of about 200 to 250. And this is the distribution, 884 total. The interview consisted of a 60-minute interview, identified a variety of factors, social, demographic, health, functional items, and then we also included direct measures of physical performance, which were direct measures of upper and lower body strength, walking speed and balance, and we also had a 7-day walking diary, and we fitted the seniors with accelerometry. What's not pointed out here is we also have extensive GIS information derived from 400 meters around each person's place of residence. The outcome, reported level of difficulty in walking 2 to 3 city blocks, and this is just our, we modified this direct measure slightly, which we can talk about. In terms of self-reported neighborhood, we derived this from the news, which has become a standard measure of neighborhood characteristics, news standing for Neighborhood Environmental Walking Survey by Brian Salins. The analytic strategy, we used targeted maximum likelihood estimation, derived an additive measure of interaction. Confounders, which we adjusted for, included the study site, basic demographics, access to car, years at the present residence. This is the distribution by age and gender. Not too much variability across sites, not significant, mostly women. This is the distribution for lower body function as measured by the direct measures. You can see that about just over 56% were identified as having fair or poor capacity as measured by the direct assessment. Just over 26% overall reported difficulty in walking 2 to 3 city blocks. Most of the people lived in areas, here I have this, I'm not even using it, You can see just over 80% consider their area to be residential, 17.5 residential commercial. This is the important slide. And a histogram, just to orient you to the slide, the y-axis is the percent of participants reporting difficulty walking 2 to 3 city blocks. The black bar represents people living in residential area. The lighter bar, commercial fixed. And you can see, obviously, that capacity is a main driver of the reported difficulty. But there is a significant interaction here for people with poor capacity. And the people who live in the residential areas reported higher levels of capacity. And, this is the actual number breakdown of poor capacity. People who lived in commercial mixed areas, 33% versus 46%. And then for those people with good capacity, 10% in the living in commercial mixed area versus 5% in those residential. So, there's a pronounced association between lower body function and difficulty in walking 2 to 3 blocks. Older adults with poor lower body function, poor capacity, are more likely to report difficulty walking than older adults with good capacity. Capacity is the main driver of all this. But there's a significant additive interaction between lower body function and perceived neighborhood environment. We use the convention of less than 0.20 for looking at significant interaction. Of those older adults with poor capacity, those who live in a commercial mixed area report less difficulty walking than those who live in a residential area. So what does all this mean? Commercial mixed areas are more likely to be characterized by shorter block length, greater density, and have more walking destinations compared to residential areas. And these results are really consistent with the observation that Powell Lawton made years ago. So what do we need to do for the future? First of all, we need to examine this for other self-reported objective neighborhood elements. And we have looked at some of the elements of the using GIS, and for some of those elements have found consistent results. We need to examine with regard to other study outcomes, including objective measures of walking from accelerometry. And just a little steal my own thunder, we actually have done that and found consistent patterns, so even with the objective indicators. But of course we need to examine, as is true of any study of the built environment and these outcomes, we need to really look longitudinally. Because with cross-sectional data, we don't know, for example, how much of it is due to a selection. The people who tend to be more active tend to gravitate toward those areas that enable them to do that, to be more active. But the results, I think, seem to suggest, and this is what kind of is motivating our continuing work in this area, and is certainly motivating a lot of work now, the results suggest that neighborhood design may, in fact, help to enhance walking among older adults with reduced capacity. So, in addition to trying to focus on individuals and convince them to be more active, which is important, it's also important to think about the context. So, and particularly those of us in public health, we have the opportunity to actually look at the built environment, and can we intervene at multiple levels and to change the environment. So we need to really think in more detail about this, the whole issue of this relationship between capacity, environment, and outcomes. It certainly suggests that one size doesn't necessarily fit all, that it's not really just strictly environmental determinism, that if you live in a certain type of environment, you're going to behave in a particular way. It may be due to other characteristics, and capacity may be one. And then as we think about the interventions, certainly we should think about the issue of environmental modification, that there might be ways to change the environment to enhance walking. But there also may be the possibility of environmental adaptation. That is, we don't necessarily change the environment, but perhaps we could then link individuals to the best resources that are available in the environment. Some environments, there are very few resources, but in others, there may be. So even to provide people with walking maps about where they might walk safely and have a good experience and also would again improve their walking is something to consider as well. I want to thank you for your attention. I look forward to the other presentations. So thank you very much.